The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
How are you this afternoon, Rolien Marks?
I am good. Thanks, and you, Simon?
I am most well. Chomping at the bit to get into it because there's a lot of interesting stuff today. Where are you going to start? You had some breaking news or some new news.
Well, let's talk about the United Nations because this is very, very interesting. So we have had news that the new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations has been sworn in front of the U.S. Senate. Her name is Linda Thomas-Greenfield. And to me, it looks like she's taking a big old leaf out of the wonderful Nikki Haley's book and walking in her very, very elegant, and you know, I do love me a heels. Fabulous shoe, heels. Yes. But in all seriousness, sworn in as the new ambassador to the United Nations, Her Excellency Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield. In her hearing with the Senate a couple of weeks ago, she singled out the disproportionate focus against the state of Israel and also said that she thinks that BDS and their activities are inherently anti-Semitic. Well, as you can imagine, her position has been warmly welcomed by our ambassador to the United States, who's also our ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan. He welcomed her, he congratulated her, and he said he looks very forward to working together on issues around regional cooperation as well as taking on what he calls anti-Semitic BDS groups. So that's very, very welcome indeed. Also making headlines today is the new Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and he's really earning himself a reputation for being somebody who is extremely level-headed, very, very dignified, a man of great integrity. He addressed the UN Human Rights Council today. You know, America during the Trump administration very famously pulled out of it and withdrew their funding, saying that one of the reasons was the focus on the state of Israel. Well, he addressed the UNHRC today because it's part of the foreign policy of the new Biden administration. They want to be very much human rights focused and based and democracy based, as he said in his 6 minute or so long speech. And he also said that, you know, he hopes that America has voted on or voted back onto the UNHRC. And in the weeks leading up to this, he has addressed this. He has said that the Biden administration feels that they can accomplish much more in dealing with the issues and dealing with the problems of the UNHRC by working from within the structure, which is a fair enough argument. But again, he also singled out the UNHRC for its disproportionate focus on Israel. He said, you know, the work of the UNHRC has to come under criticism, has to come under examination, and especially cited and I'm going to quote you directly. He says, it must look at how it conducts its business and eliminate agenda item number 7 that singles out Israel for perpetual censor. So he's coming out of the gate fighting and backing up the words of his ambassador to the UN by saying, you know, it's not acceptable.
Rolien, we need to remember that the Democratic Party has within it a Bernie Sanders. It has the squad. Are we expecting some kind of pushback from the left of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think we also have to understand that even though the Democratic Party has the squad, I don't know if I would call Bernie Sanders so much. I think we're seeing Bernie Sanders, you know, starting to bow out of politics with his mittens intact. but I think we give too much value to the squad. And I know there are concerns that we see somebody like Ilhan Omar sitting on the Foreign Affairs Committee. But I think the reason that we get so hit up, and I've spoken to a lot of people in the Democratic Party in the United States who say, you know what, we are firmly behind the state of Israel, and that people, because they are so new and because they are maybe a lot more, younger, maybe the optics look better, and because they are so novel and loud, that we are seeing them get this tremendous focus. I'm noticing a trend that now that we are in the second term of their term, so to speak, we're hearing less from them. We're seeing less focus on them. You know, they were a novelty.
Interesting.
And now it's wearing off, and it's time to get down to brass tacks. And I think that we've also seen them put their foot in their mouth maybe a little bit too much when it comes to various issues, not just issues on Israel and the Palestinians, but a variety of issues. And I must be honest, we haven't heard them as vocal over the last couple of weeks either as well.
Fascinating take, and thank you for that. I value that insight. I want to move on to the oil spill, the massive oil spill that has ruined 120 kilometers of Israeli shoreline. The gag order, has that been lifted? Do we know now what's going on? Who was responsible?
The gag order hasn't been lifted. What we do know is that the Knesset has cleared 45 million shekels for cleanup, and that cleanup has started with the aid of various organizations, the IDF, and a lot of very concerned civilians, very concerned because this is the worst environmental disaster that Israel has seen in our history. And we, of course, are quite heartbroken over what this means for our fauna and flora. I saw a fascinating video today that said that mayonnaise is very helpful, and I'm not joking, into helping to get the tar off some of our turtles who have been infected. And, you know, many people don't realize this about Israel, but we are a very, very environmentally conscious, environmentally savvy country. You know, even though we have a little bit of geographical space, we are very, very concerned and very aware of how to protect our environment. We don't know who is responsible as of yet. It was speculated, I know, reports in the Times of Israel yesterday that a Greek tanker could be responsible for the oil spill.
Yes.
But we don't have anything confirmed yet.
Okay, so we'll wait and we'll hear about that one. Let's talk about COVID. Apparently Israel using vaccines as a diplomatic instrument.
Yes, this is very interesting. And this is because we have enough vaccines procured for our civilians that we can start, you know, helping other countries. We are continuing to send vaccines into Gaza and the West Bank. So that is confirmed. It is happening and we are doing it. We also will be exchanging vaccines for diplomatic backing. And I'm not entirely sure what the diplomatic backing entails, because these are countries that we do have bilateral relations with. Anywho, we know that the countries include Cyprus, Mauritania, Hungary, the Honduras, Guatemala, the Czech Republic, a very friendly country to us, the Maldives, and then African countries, which include, you know, Mauritania, as I said earlier, Ethiopia, Chad, Kenya, Uganda, Guinea, and others that whose identity hasn't been disclosed yet. So we are, you know, where we can, looking to help other countries as well.
I want to stay on the issue of vaccines for a moment. It seems to me that Israel's taking a much more, a much stronger position versus anti-vaxxers. I read in the Times of Israel yesterday about a certain doctor who's lost his medical license because he apparently said that administering a vaccine is like Mengele, but he also was arrested for forging immunization certificates and mask exemptions for pay. Israel's taking this seriously, so it seems.
We're taking it very, very seriously. In fact, any Facebook pages that advocate anti-vaxxing have been shut down. We've had a heartbreaking but very famous case over the last few days of a family member who lost someone and her fetus to COVID-19 who hadn't been vaccinated. And he was one of the most vociferous anti-vaxxers. And he said he's actually taken his page down. You know, I myself am very, very wary of people who put together these kind of Facebook groups with the intentions of, in inverted commas, educating people about COVID-19 or the likes. I know many of them are well-intentioned, but I'm just of the opinion that unless it comes from the medical and scientific fraternity, I don't think it's responsible to play with people's health. You know, I prefer to get my information from the most credible people possible, and that's our medical professionals. Our doctors, our frontline workers, our scientists, our epidemiologists, our virologists.
Rolene, that takes us to 5:30. Interesting take. As always, a delight to chat to you, and we'll end the week together tomorrow.
That is a date. I may or may not be masked as befits Purim.
Yeah, I can imagine. I shudder to think if last year's costume was anything to go by.
You should be shuddering.
Cheers, Rolene.
Cheers. We'll speak tomorrow.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.